The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
How would you describe a virtuous woman? Would you describe her as one who is involved in prayer, Bible study, other spiritual activities? Probably so. But let's ask the question, is this the way God would define or describe a virtuous woman? You may be surprised. The word virtuous comes from the Hebrew word, and I'll spell this for you. It's C-H-A-Y-I-L. And it means strength, might, efficiency. It also is used in the Bible for some other words such as wealth, force, and army. It literally means of strength, and that of strength is in reference to moral courage. In a figurative manner, it would mean, as we would typically think about it, is a gracious person, you know, those kind of thing, a person who has, you know, a strength of character. Most of the time in the Bible, it is actually used to describe men in various activities and in different ways. So who is the Bible speaking about as the virtuous woman? How does God describe her? Does she pray faithfully every day? Does she consistently do Bible study on a daily basis? And the answer is, and here comes the surprise, that none of these traits is actually listed in God's biblical description of the virtuous woman. Does that surprise you? Now, I think it's very obvious that we should understand that there is no doubt that these activities, these attributes, are valuable in the lives of every believer, male and female, woman and man. And so I think it's pretty obvious so that, yes, this woman, this virtuous woman, would be involved in all of these traits. However, our great God uses most of an entire chapter in one of the books of the Bible to give his description of the virtuous woman. And surprisingly, at least I think surprisingly to most people, God's list of traits is of a noticeable different nature. Please go with me to the Bible's description of this godly woman in the eyes of God. And of course, that is found in Proverbs 31, and it's verses 10 through 31. Let's begin in verse 10. Proverbs 31 in verse 10. For her price or her worth is far above rubies. I'm going to digress right here and say, now, for you husbands, I don't know about you, but I personally think that God blessed me back in 1968 with a virtuous woman. I think that she has a lot of these characteristics, and I know that many of you men think the same thing about your wives, but you just don't have the opportunity to deliver this sermon, and I do. And so I do think this, and I do think that over the years, her worth has consistently proven to be far above rubies. Verse 11. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. In other words, what this is telling us is that her husband has full confidence in her, and he lacks nothing of value. That's actually what this is saying. Because he has her, he lacks nothing. He can safely trust her, and he lacks nothing of value. Why? Why would this be saying this? And the reason is because a virtuous woman inspires absolute confidence in her husband. Therefore, as a result of that, he can safely trust in her because she is not a person who is impulsive or unreliable or unpredictable. Rather, she is a person who can be trusted. She can be relied upon. Her husband can be confident in her, and she will do nothing to deliberately let him down or harm him in any way. The husband of a godly, virtuous woman lacks nothing of value. And it can be demonstrated that this, what I'm saying, is true by some of her, what I believe to be, outstanding traits that we will see in the following verses. Verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Or as the New International Version says, and I have some of these verses, I'm going to be reading from both the King James and the New International because I think it gives it a little bit clearer and for us to understand. In this verse here, verse 12 in the New International, it is, she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. The Proverbs 31 woman brings her, or brings him, and the him is her husband. The Proverbs 31 woman brings him, her husband, good and not evil. In other words, it's pretty clear, I think, that we can see and we can conclude that she is not what is called a liberated woman as defined by modern feminists. She is God-fearing and also very much husband and family-oriented. And these can be seen throughout this entire chapter of Proverbs 31. And they're seen as very positive traits. Put a marker because we'll be coming right back. But go with me to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. Proverbs 12 and verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. And the second part of that verse would be, as compared to somebody who's not a virtuous woman, is what the indication is. The second part of that verse is, but she that makes ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. So the virtuous woman is going to be a crown to her husband, as compared to someone who's not a virtuous woman is going to be as rottenness to her husband's bones. And so she's not going to do harm. She's going to do him good all the days of his life and all the days of her life. So again, what we see is she brings him good and not harm. I know you've probably all heard that there's this old saying, and it goes something to the effect of, behind every good man stands a good woman. And you know what? It's true. This Bible passage here that we're looking at holds this statement, this old saying, to be true in light of the biblical virtuous woman. Because it's very plain, she is an asset to her husband, and she will never intentionally bring harm to him. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and works well, or works eagerly with her hands. This godly woman is skilled and is capable in working with, and in the context we can see it would be with fabrics, with material. What we would call sewing material. You know, that's a big category. The modern day counterpart would be someone who is skilled in things such as sewing or even quilting. Those kinds of attributes. So she's learned how to do that. But the main thing that we see here is not so much of what that focuses on oven by itself. The main thing that we see from these few verses here is that she works. She works. There is no hint of laziness in this woman who is praised by God. We also notice that it says she works willingly or eagerly with her hands. In other words, she is willing to get her hands dirty. This woman is not above what we would call manual work. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships who brings her food from afar. You see, this woman would understand that she has a responsibility as a wife and mother, if that is the case, That would include ensuring that her family is well fed, that they are taken care of. This virtuous woman will excel in this area. We can conclude that obviously from the verses that we have just here in Proverbs 31, and there are other verses that we could go to. I'm not even going to. We're just going to keep this here. So we understand that she will not only learn good cooking skills, but she also will study good nutrition. And we also would see that she would ensure that her family is fed nutritiously. I mean, I can go into the Hebrew words and show you that this is exactly what this is talking about. But I think from common sense, we would see, well, of course she would be doing this. Of course she's going to see it to it in this way. Verse 15. She rises also while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. It's pretty clear that this woman is not given to sleeping in the mornings, but rather she is up before dawn, because that's what it says, while it is yet night. And this to make sure that her household is well taken care of, is well fed. That's the context. You know, she's going to get up to make sure that they have what they need to start the day, and she's going to see to it. And she's going to see to it that it's done, you know, in a very nutritious way. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. The New International says, out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Huh. And you look into the Hebrew, and it's probably closer to this than it is to the King James. So this woman is not a wimp. She's not a wimp in any way. And again, she is definitely not lazy. She has a business sense about her. She can evaluate a piece of property, and then it says she buys it. And when you see it in the context of the, especially with the New International Version here in verse 16, and it says that out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. And so she can buy this. She has monies. And so it's pretty clear that we can see that she has her own earnings to use to buy a field, and then she plants a vineyard. Now, is every virtuous woman going to do all of these characteristics in a physical sense? Probably not exactly as it is here. This is an ideal, obviously, and so, you know, we need to take it in that way, but it is something very positive we need to be looking at here. Verse 17, she girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. The New International Version says, she sets about her work vigorously and her arms are strong for her task. No, she's not weak. You know, she's not a wimp. She's not a weakling. She's going to be somebody who cares for herself, and so she can take care of her body. This virtuous woman, or all virtuous women, we can conclude, are not afraid of physical work. They are not afraid that they might get a nail broken. Now, I personally know that my wife is not afraid to take on hard and dirty tasks. I know. I've seen her do it many times. I am also aware that this is true, I think, of all of the ladies here in this congregation. You know, but we still need to look at this, you know, and consider this and think about this, you know, what is happening. Verse 18. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes not out by night. New International. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. It seems to me from reading this and studying this that this Proverbs 31 woman has her own home-based business. It might be what we would want to call it. It may be like she has her own home-based business, just as many modern-day virtuous women do as well. This Proverbs 31 woman seems to have been a seamstress, by the way it's describing the various things, who sold garments and sashes. And I know it says other terms, but those are probably more accurate. The sashes may be things that you put around, you know, that they do around the neck or various things like that. Also, she apparently was successful in her business and not afraid to work even well into the evening, because as it says, her candle goes not out by night. She's willing to work even into the, you know, to work into the evening. She's taking care of her family. She's doing all of these things, and she's not afraid to do that. Her trading was profitable. That's what we just read. You know, and so she's industrious. She's going to look at it. She's going to be productive. She's going to be productive in all that she does. Verse 19. I'm going to read verse 19 and 24 together. Verse 19. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. 24. She makes fine linen and sells it, and delivers girdles. That's probably the sashes, or the scars, maybe even more accurate term, unto the merchants. It seems pretty obvious to me, and I think it is, should be to all of us, that this virtuous woman learns and has learned domestic skills. And I know in our society that is heavily put down. Wrong. It's wrong for the society to do that. God is the one who put this in here. You know, it's, so God looks at this as a very praiseworthy thing. Verse 20, she stretches out her hand, or she opens her hands to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth, or extends her hands to the needy. In other words, this woman is always willing to share the blessings of what she has with the poor and the needy. Now, I've said this before. Yes, we should help everybody that we can. And yes, we also need to take cautions in how we do this, how we do reach out our hands to take care of other people and to do those things. We have to be very, very cautious, and that's a biblical principle too. But it's the attitude, it's the heart, it's the willingness. And this woman obviously has the attitude of one of, I will not turn away a hungry person from my door. Is that, you know, is that our attitude? You know, well, they got themselves in this mess. Maybe. Maybe they did. But that's not what this woman's attitude is. She stretches forth her hand. She extends her hands to the needy and to the poor. Only if they're in this category. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. And so we need to take this. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Now, this is an interesting concept. This is an interesting thing to consider. This word scarlet is a very interesting word, and it's a very interesting study, and a lot of times it's connected with a couple of other words, color words, like purple and blue is what is combined with a lot of times. But scarlet or purple, those two primary colors, were the best fabrics, and they were usually worn as a sign of prosperity. Now, the reason is because of the particular kind of dyes that would be associated with this. And so a person who would wear this, others would recognize, this is a person of class. This is, oh, she's a classy dresser. Her family is, you know, they dress up with real class. You know, I think we understand that term. And this is the sense of, this is what he's saying. Because what we see is this scarlet and purple was the garment color worn by senators and kings and emperors in Rome and in other areas of the world. And it's easy to check that out and see this. And so it was a sign of prosperity. It was also, scarlet was the color for cold, meaning cold weather. She wasn't afraid for the snow, cold weather. And this is all associated with it because she would take care of it. She would make sure that they were there. These colors were also used for the priestly garments in Israel. There are many different references to scarlet, and usually it is associated with blue and purple. And I'm going to just show you one of those places, just one. There are several. And keep your place here in Proverbs 31, of course. But in Exodus 39 in verse 1. And of the blue and purple and scarlet, they made clothes of service to do service in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron as the Lord commanded Moses. And of course, Aaron was the high priest. And so these were the colors that were worn in the holy place by the high priest. And so these are the colors that she has chosen to deal with and to dress her family in. You think it's going to get recognition? Of course it would. Of course it would. She is totally, completely aware of the priority of her family and her life over other things that might try to sidetrack her from her godly task. She is focused on what she does to take care of her family. She reaches out to take care of the needy as they come in front of us. Jesus talks about who is your neighbor. It was in that story, it was the person who had the need. And so she is one, she would have that type of an attitude. And I think it's very easy to see. And I think we can see that. She also is an excellent example of the instructions that are given by the Apostle Paul to what he calls the aged women. In other words, aged women here would be the ones who are mature, because he compares the younger with the aged, and it's over in the book of Titus. The aged women were to teach the younger women how to become virtuous women. I mean, when you look at it in a context, let's go to Titus chapter 2. Verses 4 and 5. Titus 2, verses 4 and 5. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. This is where I'm saying this is ties into being the virtuous woman. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So let's go back to Proverbs 31, verse 22, in the New International Version. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. So again, we see that not only do her skills earn her an income from the merchants, it also shows us that she makes sure that her own home's needs are well cared for. Because this is what it says when it talks about she makes coverings for her bed. And it would be an extension of all of her family would be cared for. She's seeing to it that it's done. That's the point. We also see from this verse, and she is clothed in fine linen and purple, it shows that she does not neglect her own appearance as she uses her skills to provide attractive clothing for herself also. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. He, the husband, was in a place of respect at the city gates among the elders of the land. Now, the city gates were a great deal, much of the business and trading and commerce were conducted. And so I think that we have to come to the conclusion that we therefore assume that he was handling his business affairs there at the city gates with the elders of the land. So without a doubt, this wonderful traits of this good wife can add something to the husband, because it can achieve respect to her husband as well. It can add to what the respect is that is given to her husband. Remember, She's the one who can make sure the way that he's clothed, the way he's taken care of, the way that he's fed, she's doing it. It's her responsibility. She's seeing to do all of these things. And so that is also going to achieve respect for her husband as well. Verse 24, New International Version again. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. We already mentioned this particular verse earlier, that this woman seems to perhaps have what we would call today a home-based business. But then from the following verses, it is made clear that this woman did not do this at the expense of the well-being of her household. And so now let's go on. Verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. This is a very interesting verse to consider and to look into. The New International says she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. The main reason is that she can do this is because she knows that her household is prepared, because she's seen to it that they are there, that they are prepared, that they are ready for whatever comes. And so we see the virtuous woman has a sense of dignity about her also. We also see that she looks to the future, and she makes sure that her household is well supplied so that she can, as the New International says, laugh. It also could be rejoice at the days to come, because she knows that they're prepared. She's seen to it. The term strength and honor from the Hebrew are words that literally mean strong and beautiful. Strength and honor literally mean strong and beautiful, and it's in reference to her clothing. I mean, that's how this word is being used here. Or in a figurative way, because it also can be done that, it would be for what we would call moral character. Vigorous and honorable is another way that it could be translated. And this virtuous woman is all of these things. She's all of these things. Verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness, or New International, faithful instruction is on her lips, or on her tongue. This godly woman speaks with wisdom, and we also see that it is provided in a kind and a caring manner, and it is done with, as it says, faithful instruction. So I go back to that original question. How would we describe this virtuous woman? Someone who does prayer and Bible study? Yeah, she would. You know, because she's going to be giving faithful instructions. She's going to be given instructions from out of the Bible, what the law of God is, God's way of life. And she's going to be instructing. The context of these verses place the location of this instruction in her own home. And it is there that she makes the home a place of both love and learning. Verse 27. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Hold your place again, because we're going to go over to the New Testament. Because the Bible states and shows us that the husband is the head of the house, or head of the home. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, we've already seen that his, what we would call his daytime responsibilities, are there outside of the home, because he's at the gates doing business and trading and commerce with the elders of the land, because that's what we have already seen, that we can see that it would therefore be that it is this wife, this mother, is at home, as this chapter clearly indicates, that she is responsible for the day-to-day operations in that sense of the daily needs of the home. Yeah, but we just read the husband is the head of the wife. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. And she has this biblical responsibility. So it is her daily responsibility to watch over the affairs of her household. That's what verse 27 says. We also need to please understand that this is the New Testament instruction or counsel of the Apostle Paul to the younger widows. The same thing that we just saw here. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy 5, verse 14. 1 Timothy 5, verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry. Verse 11 shows that that's the younger widows. I mean, that's the instruction here. But would he like also for the younger women to get married? Of course he would. But the context here is even young widows. And this is what he's saying. That they would marry, that they would bear children, that they would guide the house. He's telling them to be virtuous women. That's what he's instructing them here. This is what they're saying. This is what they're being told. And give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachably. So, as we can see again from Proverbs 31 and verse 27, this virtuous woman does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, I think that we can safely say that the word idleness is not in the vocabulary of this woman here. Nor is it, I know, in the vocabulary of a lot of the women, you know, the women in our congregation. I know this is not a word that fits my wife. Verse 28, this is back in Proverbs 31, verse 28. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. It's a known fact, statistically speaking, that children who are reared by an involved, loving, and dedicated at-home mom rarely grow up feeling divided from their mother. Rather, what they tend to do is they bless her. In like manner, this is telling us that the husband of a virtuous woman will praise her also. I admit that I have not praised my wife openly enough. I know that, and I am sorry for that. You know what I mean? But, I mean, hey, here it is, and I, you know, we have to, you know, speak the truth, and this is what I'm trying to do. And I do want to, and I am trying to do this more, but I ask a question to the rest of you guys, your husbands. How about you? Do you do this? It's a biblical instruction. Verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. New International, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. It would be, the husband here would be speaking and stating this from his heart, you are the best. It would be that kind of attitude that he would be having. You are the best. And to him, she will be. And I know that I can say that about my wife and, you know, in my life. She's the best. She's the best. And I hope you men who are American have that same attitude and, you know, feeling toward your wives, you know, that she's the best. Verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. New International, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The Hebrew word for favor means grace of a personal nature. And beauty means a face or a form. That's how it is being used here. And so what God is doing in this verse, he is telling us that beauty and charm or the allure that a woman tends to have may be short-lived and momentary. You know, because of her beauty, the way she looks, or her face, her beauty, her figure, and all of that. It may be momentary, but we have to understand that without a doubt, The number one thing that receives the greatest praise and the genuine praise for a woman is that she is a God-fearing woman. That's the number one thing that receives the praise. Verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. New International, give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Openly. This is what this is talking about. She's going to be praised openly because she's done a good job. You know, she's done it. This is my beloved son or daughter in whom I am well pleased. It's that kind of attitude. It's that kind of description that's being talked about. And I'm sure that we would all agree that all virtuous women have a great reward coming to them from God for eternity. And it is, as the verse says, it is give her the reward. And it's probably a bad word because we know that the gift of eternal life is a gift. It's not something we've earned. It's not something that's a reward. But I think we understand the sense of this. She has done all of these things, and so therefore we know God is going to do this. I mean, this is what this is telling us, and this is what it is saying. It is for a job well done. This Proverbs 31 woman that is described in God's word is absolutely remarkable. And there are several reasons why, and I'm just going to list out for you the traits that we found here. And if I go too fast and you want to get this later because you may want to say, I want to make sure I have all of these. Well, yeah, we do, don't we? Her traits are absolutely remarkable because she is fully trustworthy. She is an asset to her husband. She is domestically skilled. She is concerned that her household be well and nutritiously fed. Because she is diligent, arising before dawn and busy until after dark. Because she has a good business sense, even to the point that she's able to buy a field and plant a vineyard. Because she is a hard worker. Because she is generous to and aware of the poor and the needy. Because she is wise in preparing her household for the needs of the days to come. Because she is wise in making sure that she and her family are well and appropriately clothed. Because she has a blessed relationship with her husband. Because she is a woman of wisdom. Because she shows dignity and strength. Because she is a faithful instructor to her children. She is the recipient of blessing and praise from her children and her husband. And then above all, she is a God-fearing, godly woman. We need to realize that single women and widows can also be described as a virtuous woman in the light of the verses that apply to them in the situation where they are as being unmarried. But they can be. There are verses that directly can apply to them. And we could not possibly, you know, cover all these different aspects in the one sermon. I think you understand that. So let's consider a question. Who is this virtuous woman described in Proverbs 31? Well, hopefully that we can see in a physical way, it describes many of our wives and other women that we know. However, I think it should become obvious to all of us that in a spiritual sense, in a spiritual way, it is spiritually describing the church of God, the body of Christ, the bride of Jesus Christ. So it should be describing every one of us, male and female. And perhaps I or someone else can cover the spiritual side of these aspects at a later time. But I conclude with the question that I think that each one of us must be asking ourselves. The question is this describing me? Not is this describing my wife or the other women in the congregation or other women that we know. The question is this describing me? And we put our name there. And the Aaronic blessing. It is an awesome thing to think about, you know, that we can hear topics like this and then we can come to this conclusion. We go, wow, this is awesome, you know, that we're part of this. And then we have the Aaronic blessing placed upon us. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless all of you.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.